This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Granddaddy here on The Fan, Toby in for GP. The phone number is 800-636-1067. I want you to dial that right now so you can win some Wizards tickets. You'll have won a pair of tickets to see the Washington Wizards Friday, February 21st versus the Milwaukee Bucks. It's a Wizards Friday night concert series presented by Sprite, featuring free post-game concert from rapper T.I., supported by Scooby and Sirius Company. For tickets and more, visit thefandc.com/contest. Good luck to you. 800-636-1067. Also want to remind you that we are exclusively sponsored on this radio program by the law firm of Condori and Morod. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. And finally, on the Rood guest hotline, Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We welcome our buddy from Aston Sports, because pitchers and catchers reported today, Tobes. Our guy Mark Zuckerman joins us. Mark, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We are very well, my friend. One of my favorite days of the year. It's about new beginnings. Give me kind of your big picture, 30,000-foot view, major storylines you're following right now with the Nats.
So, all right. I think the way to look at this is that last year we saw a number of their top prospects, the big-name guys, Cruz and Wood in particular, reach the big leagues and show us a little taste of what they can do. And they're now kind of front and center going into this year. And you combine those two with the young building blocks that they've already had over the last year or two, C.J. Abrams, Mackenzie Gore, Jake Irvin, Luis Garcia, et cetera. That's what this team is now. And it's still a very young team, but they all have some big league experience. And the feeling is, okay, it's time now for that next step. We've been waiting for them all to arrive. Well, they're here now. Now let's see that translate into a better performance on the field. I think a lot of people, myself included, hoped that the front office would supplement them with more this winter, with some bigger name free agents, some more established guys. The moves they made were kind of calculated in particular spots, and maybe not the big splash that a lot of us thought was coming, and it didn't come. So I think that part makes you a little bit hesitant about how far they could take that next step this year. But ultimately, it's about the young guys. And you know, 4 years into this, since they started the rebuild, this is finally the team that I think a lot of us have been waiting to see. Now let's see how they do.
You mentioned C.J. Abrams in their weird end of the season last year, sent down with some, you know, off-the-field stuff and whatnot. Are there any hard feelings left over from that? I saw pictures that even though, you know, pitchers and catchers were today, plenty of other guys there, C.J. Abrams among them. Does it seem like everything's just good to go for this season and that's kind of in the past?
Yeah, that was the message today. We talked to C.J. It's the first time he's spoken since his demotion at the end of September. He said, you know, he didn't brush it off. He you know, acknowledged that it caught him off guard and that, you know, it took him a little while to kind of get over it, but he's ready to put it behind him. He came in with a really good attitude, but you said he reported early with a lot of other position players. Davey Martinez insists that they've had some very good conversations over the course of the winter. And CJ's coming in here, I think, really motivated to show that the guy that he was in the first half of the season, when he was the All-Star, that's who he can be over a full 6 months. And, you know, even without the demotion and everything that went with that, he slumped in the second half last year, and he knows that that's just as important here is for him to show that he can do this and be that kind of player for an entire season. So he's very motivated. He insists that he learned from it. He's trying to take positives from it and move on, and now it's up to him to show everybody on the field that he can be that guy.
Mark, let's say there was a game tonight, not a spring training game, but a real one. There isn't, but let's say there is. They got a one-run lead. They're playing the Mets. David Martinez calls down to the bullpen. The door opens. Who's there to protect that lead in the ninth inning? Who's their closer?
I'm so glad you asked that question, Danny. It's almost as if you just read my Twitter feed because I just published the article answering that exact question.
Mark, did you?
So I love it. Huh. Go to massinsports.com and you can read exactly what the answer to that question is. But I'll tell you myself what kind of a little tease for what's in there. The answer is they don't know right now today, and it's a good thing that the season doesn't begin tomorrow because it's not an ideal situation. This, to me, is the number one cause for concern right now as we look forward to the season. They decided to non-tender Kyle Finnegan, decided he wasn't worth the $8 or $9 million he would have got through arbitration. They did not go and replace him with somebody of equal, certainly of an equal salary or even a track record like that. They signed Jorge Lopez, who has been a closer briefly in his career with the Orioles. I think he's more of a setup man. They really like Jose Ferrer, who is a really promising, young, hard-throwing lefty who doesn't have a full big league season under his belt yet. So would you just throw him to the Wolves like that? Reading between the lines, I still feel like they are going to make some more moves over the course of the spring. It sounds like they are determined to add at least one, if not two more relievers before camp ends. Now, will that be a bona fide closer or just another guy who could pitch the late innings and they piece it together? I don't know the answer to that yet, but that to me is still a major concern because you guys know this. There's nothing more demoralizing in baseball than you do everything right for eight innings. You're in a position to win a game, and then one guy in the ninth inning blows it. And I really hope they don't find themselves in that position too often this year because they decided essentially not to spend money on a proven closer.
Not to steal from your other story that you posted earlier today, Mark, but going into this season, 71 and 91, the last 2 years, what's kind of the vibe? What's the expectations around this team? Like, you know, this offseason, we were hoping they were going to spend some more money than they did. They didn't really, but they did improve in some spots. Is this a team that they feel they can finish above 500 or around 500, potentially maybe even sneak into the playoffs? Or is this still continuing the same sort of let's hope that we can continue building sort of year?
I think for the guys in that clubhouse and also, you know, the manager in the front office, I think there is a feeling of it's time to see more results on the field. That back-to-back 71-win seasons obviously is not what anyone is hoping for, but you could also argue that progress was made because of the arrival and development of the young guys and that maybe the record was secondary to the development that they experienced the last 2 years. I think they all acknowledge that that can't really be the case this year. That doesn't necessarily mean it has to be a winning record and they have to be in the pennant race in September. I mean, they would love for those things to happen. But more than anything, you want to be able to say at the end of the year, okay, we see tangible results of this long process that we've all been waiting to see play out over the last few years. And development is great, but ultimately it does have to boil down to wins and losses. And I think there's more pressure on a number of people this year. You know, Davey Martinez, he has a contract option for next year. The club can pick up an option, but this is another one of those kind of contract years for him. I think Mike Rizzo, at some point, you do start evaluating how the rebuild has gone. And so I think for them and for a bunch of individual players who are trying to take that next step, there should be pressure on them all to be better this year, both, you know, individually, but also ultimately on wins and losses. That's how this team should be judged.
Mark Zuckerman, Masson Sports, with us here on G&D. Toby in for Jeeps today. So, Mark, they're starting rotation. This is where they've got some depth. There are seven guys that could make a claim for a spot. There are a couple that I think you'd put in Sharpie at this point, and this not even including, you know, an eventual Josiah Gray return and the variable of Cade Cavalli, but there's seven guys right now that I think have starting experience and have had some success. How does that rotation shake out?
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest battle of the spring is to see how they decide who are the final five there. Mackenzie Gore and Jake Irvin are in for sure, and I would guess right now that Gore is their choice for opening day, although they probably won't make that announcement for quite a while. Davey Martinez flat out said that Michael Soroka, who they signed for $9 million this winter, that he said he is a starter for us. So I know we had some success in the bullpen with the White Sox last year. Maybe if things don't work out in the rotation, you could see him shift to a bullpen role. But it sure sounded to me like, and certainly the contract they gave him, at least for this team, was a contract that you give to somebody you expect to start. So I put him in there. They brought back Trevor Williams on a two-year deal, the only guy they gave multiple years to. So you would think, again, that he's got a leg up for that. And based on the way he pitched last year when he was healthy, that would be good. Then you've got some young guys for the other spots. DJ Hers and Mitchell Parker both had their moments last year. The new Japanese pitcher, and forgive me, I'm still going to learn how to pronounce his name properly.
I was hoping you would do it for me so I could copy your pronunciation. I've swung in this so badly.
Shinosuke?
Yep.
Ogasawara. But I need to get that exactly right still. It's going to be really interesting. They view him as a starter. They're going to build him up as a starter. Is he big league ready? They could, in theory, send him to AAA if he's not ready for the start of the year. I don't think they view him as a reliever, but somebody from that whole group probably ends up as a long reliever, certainly given the lack of depth in the bullpen they have at the moment. But they have options, and that's a good thing, and maybe something they haven't always had in the past. So while there may not be a bunch of guys at the top of the rotation, you super excited. There's certainly more depth than they've had in a long time. And if and when somebody gets hurt, because it will happen undoubtedly, I think they're in a much better position to deal with that now than they've been in the past.
Mark, it seems like when you look through the roster that you kind of understand, or at least you're pretty confident, who's going to start at most of the positions, but maybe third base. What do you think is going to be the plan there? Who's fighting for those spots in spring training?
Yeah, that's the one that's probably up in the air. And again, we thought maybe they'd go out and get somebody this winter. They haven't. There's still some guys available if they want to go that route. But at least the way that he spoke about it today, Davey Martinez kind of said it's an open competition, but seemed to indicate that they want to give Jose Tana a legitimate shot to show that the offense that he provided late last season, that there is something there, and that the defense should be better now that he's had an actual opportunity to learn the position. He was kind of learning it on the fly last season. I think ultimately they're just waiting for Brady House to be ready. He's here in big league camp. They do believe he is the future, is the long term. I just don't know they want to force that issue. I don't think they'll rule out the possibility of him being the guy on opening day, but my sense would be that unless he has just a lights out spring and forces the issue, that they probably want him to start at AAA, have some success, and then call him up when you think he's ready. Hopefully in the first half of the season, I'd like to think that. And in the meantime, whether it's Tana, whether it's Ahmed Rosario, who they signed, Trey Lipscomb, who's here and got the chance last year and didn't do a lot with it, but they're not giving up on him. I think all those guys are sort of stopgaps for now, and ultimately it's about when is Brady House ready for the big leagues.
Mark, Kaber Ruiz just did not have a good year last year. There's good reasons why. You can call them excuses. You can call them explanations. Regardless, you're now in, hey, let's get going, prime time here, especially in catcher years. He'll be 26 this season, just a couple years removed from, almost 20 homers, a .260 batting average, OPS in the low sevens. Again, last year just never seemed to get right, both offensively and defensively. Just give me your thoughts, kind of overall picture here on Ruiz.
Well, yeah, I mentioned how there are individuals facing pressure this year. I think he's high on that list. It's kind of put up or shut up time. And I know he has the long-term contract, so it's not like he's going anywhere. But he does need to reestablish the fact that he is the guy behind the plate for them for years to come, and that we shouldn't be talking about somebody else, leapfrogging him, or at least getting to a point where he has to share the job. He looks good. He lost some weight over the winter. I think that's something they wanted him to do. They really want him to come in here and get off to a good start. Even when he was good a few years ago, it was more on the second half than on the first half. So they would love for him to get off to a good start, but at the same time, not to put too much pressure on himself to get off to a good start. He's a worrier. He is someone that when things are not going well, he takes it hard. And I think they're trying to help him understand, like, hey, don't do that to yourself. Don't be so focused on, well, I have to hit this in April or else the season is a bust. I think psychologically there's a lot of work to do there with him to get him back. But he needs to be better. He needs to establish that, yes, he is their answer behind the plate, not just now but for years to come, and that they invested in him for the right reasons. So I'd put him high on that list of guys who are facing some real pressure this year.
Talking with Mark Zuckerman from MassinSports.com, Toby Altizer in for Grant Paulson today on Grant and Danny. One of those guys, Mark, that had a pressure-packed season last year and frankly didn't even have the best spring and then came out and responded really well throughout the season was Luis Garcia. And I saw this offseason that he had changed his representation. Is that the guy that the Nationals view as their long-term second baseman, and are they going to try and work out a contract to keep him around long-term?
Well, if he can do what he did last year, absolutely, he's the guy. That was by far the best development of the season, at least among the position players, for them last year. And it took a while, and there was some tough love, and there were times last spring that a lot of us were wondering, like, are they squeezing him out? Is he in danger of being, you know, knocked out altogether from being part of this plan? And then, to his credit, he worked really hard, and he got off to a good start, and he had an excellent season for them at the plate, on the bases and in the field. Now that next step for him is to not be complacent with it, to play with that same kind of urgency that he finally showed last year, maybe being demoted a couple times and having the fear of losing your job altogether is what did it for him. He's got to find that motivation again to keep doing it and not just think, okay, well, I'm set now. I'm good because I had one good year. They would love for him to be the guy, not just this year, long term, as well, and I'm sure somewhere along the way they'll try to have that conversation. It's tough, as we've seen, to get anybody to agree to a long-term extension, but if he keeps doing what he did last year, he will absolutely be a part of their plan, not just now, but for a while.
All right, Mark, I'll let you go on this. Couple superlatives or prediction-type deals, okay? Who leads the team in home runs?
I will say James Wood leads the team in home runs. We saw a glimpse of it last year. I know he hits the ball a ton. He hits it really hard. If he can start elevating it, which is any level of more consistency, and we saw that, you know, over those few months that he was here, by the end he was doing it more. Give me James Wood approaching 30 homers this year.
Who leads the team in stolen bases?
I will say, yeah, that's a good one, because CJ should be the guy, but Jacob Young was really good at it last year, as was Luis Garcia, kind of surprisingly. I'll say CJ gets back on track and looks like the guy we saw the previous year and is up there in the 40 range on stolen bases.
So back to homers. Last year, one player for the Nats, CJ Abrams, the aforementioned, had 20 homers. How many Nationals hit 20-plus home runs this year?
Oh, God. You would like to think it's more than that, wouldn't you?
I would love for it to be more than that, please.
We hope.
It's kind of important in today's game to hit home runs, you know. It is an emphasis. They have absolutely talked about this, not just individually, but collectively, as we need to start hitting the ball in the air, fewer ground balls. So good on them for preaching it. Now can they put it into practice? So I will say James Wood hits 20. I will say Nathaniel Lowe hits 20. I will say Josh Bell hits 20. I'll say C.J. Abrams hits 20. And I would like to believe Dylan Cruz can do it. Maybe it's more like 15 in his first full big league season, but I know that power is there. So give me four guys maybe to hit 20 or more. How does that work?
I would. That's quadruple what we got last year, Mark. I would do spin kicks. Who leads the team in innings pitched?
Innings pitched, I'll go Jake Irvin. I think he is really showing that he can be a workhorse. And maybe he's not a number one or even a number two in the long run. But he was among the league leaders in innings last season. And so I think he's the guy. I think they'll be a little more careful with Mackenzie Gore, knowing that as he gets deeper in games, sometimes it falters on him. They're obviously going to be careful or, you know, more careful with Trevor Williams, and we don't have Patrick Corbin around here anymore to plead with and hope that he could somehow give them 180 quality innings. So I'll say Jake Irvin leads the staff and maybe even among the league leaders again in innings pitched.
And last one, who has the Luis Garcia season? Like, you know, there have been signs in the past of Garcia. I've always liked him, but he had his breakout last year. Who's the, how about this? Have we noticed this guy kind of season?
Yeah, yeah. How about I go with Keibert Ruiz
all out
on that? Yeah, I think he knows it. I think everybody knows this is a big year for him. And there's a reason they acquired him and why they gave Max Scherzer and Trey Turner, and he was one of the key pieces they got in return. I think it's kind of a make-or-break season for him, knowing how motivated he is, determined he is. I'll say it's a big year for a reason. At the end of the year, we're saying, okay, that did all work out in the end, and yes, he has proven that he's a part of this thing.
Mark, appreciate the time. Enjoy the beautiful weather while we have to deal with snow here in the DMV.
You know, I wasn't going to say anything about it. It would be rude of me to mention that I'm worried I got sunburned on day one while my wife was at home shoveling snow. So I just won't say that. That wouldn't be appropriate.
No, it'd be wrong to say that. Mark, thank you, buddy. Look forward to seeing you.
Thank you, guys.
There he goes. That is Mark Zuckerman, Masson Sports. And there is what you do when pitchers and catchers report. You talk about a little season preview. Plenty of questions to be answered. Some good ones in there. Back to some football. Matters of football here. So we came up with this kind of, I don't know, over the last couple of days, an idea or two. You get stuck in an elevator. Door opens, right? A coach, a GM, a PR person, Josh Harris, whomever. Somebody's in that elevator with you, and you got a long 30-second elevator ride all the way up to the tippy top. You got 30 seconds to tell them whatever you want to tell them about the local Washington 53. For example, Joe, stop leaving, don't leave Benogany on an island, or don't play Benjamin St. Just ever again. Dan, keep going forward on fourth down, man. Adam, go get me a marquee player at this position. Cliff Kingsbury, stop handing it off to Austin Eckler in between the tackles and getting him, you know, beaten all to hell. Whatever you want to tell them, you can tell them. Who are you talking to, and what do you tell them? 30-second elevator pitch, 800-636-1067. You're talking to a Washington Local 53, either executive, GM, coach, owner, whatever. What do you tell them in the elevator? Toby, name the album. 3, 2, 1, go.
I got nothing.
I love it. Working with young people, it's the best. 800-636-1067. It's great to hear on the fan. Toby's in for GP. Don't feel bad. GP wouldn't know either.
I know it's Michael Jackson.
Yes, you do.
I don't know the album.
Thriller.
Okay.
Yeah.
I should have just guessed that. I knew it was Thriller.
I would have just guessed that. Yeah. You know why? Because it's an incredible album. Maybe the best ever. Any hoodles, 800-636-1067 is the phone number. Elevator pitch. You get stuck in an elevator with somebody that's a decision maker here in Washington. Cliff Kingsbury, Dan Quinn, Joe Witt, a secondary coach, whoever you want, Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, Josh Harris, whatever. You got 30 seconds to pitch them your thing about what to do this offseason, what to do for the fan experience, what to do for players, for personnel, or whatever. So I'm going to put Toby on the clock here in a minute. He's going to get us started. But Darius told me that he's got some elevator music for us. Oh, yeah. Riding up the elevator. Maybe it's Josh Harris going, hey, what floor? You know, I can go ahead and push it for you. We're leaving the name in the past, and we're just going to be the stupid one from here on out. Is that cool? Oh, you're going up to the top? That's good. So am I. It's the penthouse. Go Sixers. You know what I mean? Like, that's Josh Harris in the elevator with you. I don't know. But that's the elevator pitch music, right? Okay. So Tobias Fumke. Oh, now we get out?
Oh.
Oh. I thought I was just going to have to stop the timer. Is that timed at 30 seconds? Okay, that rules.
It's awesome.
I don't have to do anything.
Darius is a good producer. I don't know if you knew this.
I'll agree with that. You know what else, though, about Darius? This is true. He hasn't seen Coming to America.
Oh.
You ever learn about that? You ever hear that?
That's a shame.
Yeah, isn't it? I'm a conclay. He has no idea. That's good. Okay, Tobes, you ready to go?
I'm ready.
So you're going to pick your person and then start your pitch. In 3, 2, 1, go.
Oh, hello, Adam Peters. Good to see you. So, Adam, what I want to ask of you this offseason is I thought this year was really, really impressive. I thought you did a really good job building this team. The one thing I want to see improved is the running game. There were 16 guys this year that had over 1,000 yards rushing. A lot of those guys really explosive. I think, you know, maybe giving Jaden a little bit of help back there would be nice. So if you could get us one of these explosive running backs, good at catching the ball out of the backfield, just a really good, solid back, I'd really appreciate it if you could find a way to do that. Thanks, Adam. Have a nice day.
And he got off the elevator. I like that. 800-636-1067. Ryan, prepare your pitch. Darius, you too. I'm going to give you mine. It also happens to be going to Adam Peters. So the elevator's opening. Adam, what's up, man? Danny Ruye, 106.7, the fan and lifelong fan of the team. Here's the deal. You got Cliff here in town scheming people open. Stop doing that. I don't mean stop scheming people open, but stop relying on it. No more Noah Brown, no more Dalmy Brown, no more Castaways, no more Island of Misfit Toys. Ballers. Draft them. Sign them. Trade for them. Whatever you got to do, I want an alpha at receiver opposite my little Terry. I want an alpha at running back. I want an alpha at tight end. Not some also-ran. Not some other guy that's available. But anybody, give me a star. It's like, thank God that's over. How desperate was that guy? So sweaty and loud. 800-636-1067. Corporate Clarity, did you finish your Zoom?
Yes, we have finished.
You're all set.
We are ready.
Right. We're going to circle back to those line items later on your Microsoft Teams account.
We'll get it.
You'll be slacking a couple different people here, there, and everywhere. Corporate Clary, your 30-second starts now.
Cliff Kingsbury, it is really nice to see you here. Let me tell you this. You have something great with Jaden Daniels. You are awesome at calling plays. But let me just tell you this. Go deep more. Jaden Daniels actually has a pretty good arm. And I think you kind of realize that at points this season. But we did not run enough deep routes with Terry McLaurin. Dyami Brown even. We saw Dyami Brown in the postseason. If he's back in this roster, run him deep. Call him out there 4 times a day. Run deep, my guy. He is really good at it. And Terry McLaurin as well. And just throw the ball.
The door closed, man. That was awkward. Just yelling at nothing. I'm kidding. Good job. All right, Christian Darrisaw. You got to time yourself. Can you do both? Can you reach over and do the thing?
I think I can do that.
All right, so hold on. Do it. I'll vamp for you for 1 second. Yep. Darren's hitting the button now and start. He's got it.
Hey, Dan Quinn. It's great to see you, man. Nice bald head you have there. I have to say, I love this brotherhood bit that you guys do. It's great and all. I'm glad that it brings the team together and it led you guys to 12 wins plus 2 playoff wins. But for the love of God, Dan, can we please do individual player introductions at the stadium? Oh. I know you want to bring everybody out at the same time because it's a brotherhood. I need the crowd to be able to roar for Terry McLaurin when you announce his name. I need the crowd to be able to roar for Jaden Daniels when you announce his name. Frankie Louvu, these guys deserve individual recognition. Please, Dan, please.
That is an interesting one.
That's an awesome one, by the way. Awesome one, by the way. You know, I was at the Sunday Night Football game. They clinched the playoff appearance against the Falcons. Mm-hmm. And just give me the opportunity to have the whole stadium explode as you say, and a quarterback, number 5 from LSU, Jaden Daniels. Give me a chance to explode. Give everyone a chance to just yell and scream because they love their quarterback. You didn't get it. It was awesome, but you didn't get that moment, which I completely agree with Darius there.
I like that one a lot. 800-636-1067. Let's go to line one. Vinny at Sea Pleasant. Vinny, you understand what you're doing here? You're getting on an elevator, and you're just going to make it awkward, but say what you want to say. You ready to go?
Yes, indeed. I'm ready to go.
Here we go. The elevator door is about to open. Darius, hit it.
Hello, Mr. Peters. How are you? You're looking really spiffy today. Mm-hmm. I'll get a question for you. I just wanted to know, what are we doing about the secondary coming up next season? I mean, you know, we had to have somebody out there on the other side to help out Marshawn, the slide, Terrence Hill in the slot, and we can, you know, take going from there. It's a guy out there by Denzel Burks. He's a real rangy guy, and he's a real ball hawk out there, Ohio State. I'm just giving you a little plug, but I think you should go ahead and check him out. Thank you.
Well done. With the courtesy at the end from Vinny.
Very good.
You have a nice day.
Very good. I like it. I'd be down with Denzel Burke, Ohio State guy.
Talking about drafting?
Yeah.
They're 29 probably? Is that the range? Or is that a second round situation?
He might slip a little bit. Might have to be early second round sort of range. Maybe at 29. I'm not sure. But yeah, I like that. Improve the secondary.
There are a few rolster, to borrow from Kevin Chan's pronunciation, a few rolster spots where if you upgrade there, hard for me to be upset. Like a couple years ago, I remember Ben Standing, who came on, and he wrote a piece and he suggested when they still had Young, Sweat, Payne, and Allen, that you look at this, they might have a need pretty soon at defensive line. And I went, I understand what you're saying. They just can't do that right now, right? Well, now you could definitely do it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like a couple years ago, I'm going, they've done a first round pick for 4 straight years on the defensive line. You can't make it 5 out of 7 or whatever the heck it would have been, 5 out of 6. And I get it. You're right. I mean, you're going to look at it. It's going to be a dramatically different defensive line next year and the year after than it was over the last handful of seasons. I totally understand how the league works. But my goodness, that one might irk me just a little bit if they went defensive end or defensive tackle at 29, given maybe the rest of the offseason. Now, if you move Painter Allen, I get it. Maybe we'll do that. But golly, it's just one of those things where there's so many. I'm going,
yes,
please improve this key spot. Then it would still irk me, but I won't be upset, I guess, is the point of the dude's story there. Let's go to Sam in Gainesville. Sam, you ready to make your pitch, buddy?
I am ready to make my pitch, Mr. Rouye.
Let's do it, sir. Darius, the elevator door's opening. He's on the phone. That's why. Hold on. The door is going to open now.
Mr. Peters, great to see you, sir. Welcome into the elevator. Beautiful hair. Looking sharp.
Yeah,
I only have two requests this offseason. Two things, that's it. I need you to go out and sign T. Higgins on the offense. I need you to sign Myles Garrett on the defense. If you do those two things, you probably get us one more win next year. We'll go 13-4. And everything else you can do through the draft. You've got $70 million worth of cap space. You've got 7 or 8 picks. Go have at it. Go sign those two veterans, and we're all set. Thank you, sir.
Everyone's getting out on time, by the way, as they're walking away.
It's just very impressive.
Thank you. It's very polite. 800-636-1067. One more of these. Got a couple other little news items of the day. A bummer in the world of sports and sports-related television. We'll pass on the bad news at 6, but until then, you get 30 seconds. Elevator. Maybe it's Peters. Maybe it's Quinn. Maybe it's Joe Witt. Maybe it's Cliff Kingsbury. Maybe it's Josh Harris. Maybe it's Mitch Rails. I don't even know. Whoever you want to talk to, it's your 30 seconds, man. Elevator pitch to a member of the Local 53 that can make some decisions. We'll do that next. If you're a TV sports nerd, you're not going to like what I got to tell you at 6 p.m. A couple other things I want to hit on the way out today, but we still got some time. 800-636-1067. 30-second elevator pitch. It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Toby in for GP. Adaris Dameron, Ryan Clary production. Thank you again to corporate Ryan Clary for allowing the lights to be on, the Wi-Fi to work, and us to have a building to broadcast from. We are forever grateful for your stewardship shuttling this company into the, what century is this? 21st century? 22nd?
21st.
21st, yeah. Anyway, appreciate him and all of his efforts. 800-636-1067. Some really creative ones so far. Toby and I both talked to Adam Peters. Darius wanted individual player introductions, I thought was really cool. Some good ideas from callers as well. Let's go to Kevin in Virginia. You understand what you're doing here, sir? You got 30 seconds to talk to whoever you want about whatever you want. You ready to rock?
I'm ready to go.
Let's do it. Kevin is on the clock right now.
Mr. Harris, thank you for buying the team. Two quick suggestions. Let's get away from this nostalgia. Let's put the stadium at Oxon Cove across from National Harbor. All three jurisdictions have access to a new stadium, the National Stadium. Second, change the name to the Red Hawks. Redskin fans will be happy, and the Native American populations will be happy as well. The Red Hawk is a sacred bird in the Native American history. Those two problems can be solved. You'll have a great team. You'll have a lot of revenue. And we're going to win a Super Bowl. Thank you, sir.
Boom. Very polite on the way out, too. Now, the area he's talking about for the stadium, I want to address that. People think that I'm, not people, I'm sure everyone's concerned. But when I say it can't be in Landover, wherever you want to call it, where it is right now, it can't be, correct, in my opinion. There are places in Maryland where I go, that would work. So that spot that he's talking about, I don't know if that's on the D.C. side, right close to where Nats Park is, or still on the Maryland side, not far from Andrews Air Force Base, and kind of down the street, I'm putting that in quotes, from National Harbor, the BetMGM, the whole nine yards that's right there. I don't know if there's any spot that would work. I'm not an architect. I don't know. If it's too swampy or if it's, you know, the land wouldn't be good for whatever kind of reason. I do know that there's some space.
Definitely.
And I've always said, at one point, as I recall, Larry Hogan, when he was governor of Maryland, was having some banter back and forth with Snyder and company. That area was discussed. And then that was before Hogan said, you know what, we're being played. We're just being used to drive up the bidding somewhere else. I ain't dealing with that jackass. Anyway, so that was off the table. I don't think it's on the table now, but I wish it was. I'm just throwing that out there.
I don't hate it. Is there a metro stop there? Is there at least closer than a mile walk?
Not really.
Yeah, that's my only thing. I want a metro station wherever we're going.
I get that.
I need one there because that's usually what I take to come into games aside from going to Nats games since we work down here. But I would much rather at least have a metro option than always having to park down there.
What would be the closest there, Darius? Do you know top of your head? Closest metro? Because it would be a similar way as now where you'd have to get out and walk a ways, right?
Yeah, I just don't love that.
Yeah, it. I don't think anything's anywhere close to that area, unfortunately.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, because like you're sort of in that Oxon Hill, Forest Heights.
Correct.
Bellevue, Blue Plains kind of region.
Yeah.
I don't know what metro's there. I fully admit I don't know.
To his point, decently accessible, right? At least further than going all the way into Maryland a little bit more. Right?
But, which is all, so it's all driving traffic the way it is now,
yeah.
But it almost touches the DC border.
Yes.
Right now, again, it's not like, you know, if you're past the halfway point, northern DC, it's still far. It'd be a pain in the butt, but it's a pain in the butt for everybody to get anywhere.
It wouldn't be that much of a change, but it would be a little bit closer for the Virginia and some of the DC folks.
Way closer for Virginia folks. But again, I haven't heard that area mentioned at all. I'd love it if it was mentioned. That's what I've got for you. Chris in Hyattsville, he's got a 30-second pitch. Chris, you ready to rock?
Yeah, Dan, you're not an architect?
No. That's a great bit, by the way. I always wanted to be an architect. I claim to be an architect. Chris, give me your 30-second pitch. Ready, go.
Cliff. Hey, bud.
Hey, bud.
I want to introduce you to someone. To my left is this big, strapping young man named Ben Sennett. He's your rookie tight end. Now, Ben is a big, growing boy, but you know what he needs, Cliff? He needs to be fed. He needs targets, Cliff. He needs snaps. You got to feed him. Okay, can you take care of that for me, bud? All right, great. Thanks, Cliff.
First of all, I love that Chris went full Bateman in his pitch.
Yes.
That's getting the bit, by the way. That's next level.
Very Bateman.
Hey, bud. Now, I've heard this from some people. It's not one of those universal things, but I've heard this. Darius, you can back me up on this. I think I've heard folks say sometimes for tight ends, it takes a little bit longer. Now, for every one that's true, someone's going to go, hey, idiot, what about Sam Laporta? Or what about this guy, that guy? Sometimes, sure. But I think a lot of times when you come from a lot of these college offenses, the nuances and the things that you need to be a pro tight end, a.k.a. inline blocking if you're a receiver, a.k.a. being a receiver if you're an inline blocker, are hard to pick up. A lot of the nuance, and it's got to be very precise because you're so close to the line of scrimmage. If you're super fast, hey, man, run that 9 route. Go get him.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit less complicated.
I think the thing that frustrated me about him not getting more involved was the style of tight end that he is. Yes, you need him to be able to block, and that's an important part of it. But he's not your Zach Ertz, where it's like if Zach Ertz isn't understanding how to sit down in the zone and do some of these things, then yeah, he's not going to get play time. Ben Sinnott's the guy that runs everyone knows the tight end drag route. You throw him the ball and he turns a 2-yard catch into a 15-yard gain because he breaks a tackle or two and he's good after the catch. I was hoping you could see a little bit more of that, but at times there were some spots where he'd miss a block or something of that nature. So it's tough to get on the field when you're missing assignments, even though maybe it'd be a little bit easier to get him the ball than some other tight end. So I think you'll see him take a big step forward next year.
I got some good news and I got some bad news. And I got some news that just is news. We'll do that next here. Last segment on Grant and Danny.